Greetings, sisters. Sister Deb from don'tperish.com.
Hello, sisters. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, I was thinking about just sharing some witnessing that's been going on the past couple days through this weekend.
You've been busy, Sister Debbie.
Yeah, it's been really busy for all of us, really. So yesterday we went to a busy tourist town that we've been to before. It's usually pretty good for witnessing, really good parking. It's got the three P's that Brother James is always talking about. Parking, people, and public access. And so we really like to go there. And yesterday was really amazing because a lot of gospel cards were given out, and I was actually able to witness to many women. It was pretty awesome.
We also took a young brother out from the area, and he got his first witnessing experience, and he really grew from that and enjoyed it.
Yeah, he did. That was awesome. He got to observe a lot, and at one point, the men were walking ahead, and Brother James had his great big sign there, and he was preaching as he was walking, and I was behind handing out gospel cards, you know, for anybody who wanted it. And there was this one woman there. She's like, "Whoa, what's going on? What's going on? What are these people doing? What's this about?" And so I gave her a gospel card. She said, "What is this?" And I was able to explain to her. She said, "I don't go to church." I said, "Well, that's good. Stay out of there. You got a good start there." And I gave her the gospel. I told her we'd be happy to help her and her husband. I saw she had children, so I assumed she was probably married. And I said to contact us. I was able to talk to her a little bit about man-made religion. Then I caught up with the men, and there was a lot of one-on-one, quite brief witnessing and stuff, you know, because women would take a card and ask what it is, or say, "Oh, I'm already a Christian," and I would encourage them to go deeper and test all things. And Brother James and other brother actually had quite a few witnessing opportunities as well with some of the men.
Yeah, one man I could think of was, real quick, he looked like he was beelining right for us.
Yeah, right.
With a very much of an intent. And I thought, uh-oh, he's mad. He's a business owner. And he came right up and he thanked us. He wanted to give us money. We said, "No, we don't need it or take money."
Yeah.
And he said that what we're preaching is right, and that he's been dabbling. And he thanked us, and he said, "I really need to get serious in the faith." And it was awesome. It was a great witnessing experience. He seemed like a sheep that was convicted, and he said, "What you're saying is right. Keep preaching."
Right.
And he said he was going to go look at our website. So that was awesome.
Yeah, he actually kind of chased us from the other side of the street. As we were going, he was going and trying to find a way to get across the street to us.
And I like that he yelled across the street and told his wife, "You can go down the street." And he kept talking to us.
Yeah, she was standing there waiting for him. He's like, "You can go down the street."
Yeah,
and
that was awesome.
Yeah, that was. He seemed really intent and listening.
And I got another quick one. A young man came up and thought, it looked like he was going to be a mocker with two younger teenage women. And I think I did a good job of turning his mockery into an information session. And he actually ended up getting the gospel, and he took a card, and it ended quite well. What turned out looked like it might be a mocker. We got to speak truth into a young, probably 18-year-old man, and that was awesome too.
Yeah, because it certainly didn't look like it was going to be that way when he first started.
Amen.
So praise God for that. And then there was this one woman there that was there, were we out last weekend?
Last weekend.
Yep, and I saw this woman, she was like spray painted silver from her hair down to her, all the way through her clothing.
Looks she's like either a witch or a sorcerer with a big sword.
Yeah,
one of the
something,
other.
Yeah, and what she does is she puts out this silver pot, and then people give her money and take pictures with her, and she'll put the sword up to a little child's neck, and they make it like, oh,
like she's an executioner.
Yeah, it's wicked. Well, I went down there and I gave her a gospel card. I dumped it in her little pot there, and I told her she needed to repent of her wickedness. And she claimed to be a Christian, so I talked to her for a few minutes, and I called her out of her sin. And we saw her there again. I told Brother James, I said, "I need to go over there and talk to her." And he said, "Yeah." We kind of talked about it a little bit. And then I went over there, and I said, "I see you haven't repented of your wickedness." And she defended her sin. We actually have videos of these up on the website. You can check those out. And so there'll be a testing of her religious body up there. And, you know, sometimes we go back and we call people out because we hope maybe there's repentance there. We don't do these things, you know, to try to be mean to anybody.
Yeah, but if we don't tell her the truth, who's going to tell her? Her pastor's not.
No, I know. And it wasn't like I was going over there to be mean, you know, to go after her again. I wanted to maybe cause some conviction in her And it's so wicked what she's doing, making fun of death and things like that with those little children. You know, that could be anybody's children or grandchildren out there.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing.
And she's claiming to be a Christ. So,
wickedness.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, the truth went out and God was glorified. And then this morning, we stayed over in that town. And this morning, Brother James was talking about maybe going out to stand outside a religious building because it's Sunday morning.
Which we end up getting to do anyway. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Yeah, and so the plans kind of changed, and we decided to go down the road to get some ice at a gas station, and we pulled in. Brother James put some gas in the van, and he went to get the ice because they always give you complimentary ice if you buy gas. And so I was in the van getting everything ready and mentioned about moving the van, so we moved the van to a different spot to get out of everybody's way. And I was just finishing up the ice when a woman come walking over, and she was really distraught. She looked like she was going to cry. She's like, "Can you please help me jump my car? Somebody tried to jump my battery, and it didn't work. Do you have any jumper cables?" And so Brother James said he's got a jumper box.
Yeah, battery jumper system.
Yeah, yeah. He said, "Hold on just 1 minute." So I finished up what I was doing, and he brought that over there. And it started right away. And that was pretty awesome. She said, "You know, I was sitting there, I had my head bowed down, I was about ready to cry, and I was praying to God if I could have some help." And she said, "I looked up and saw your van."
Gospel van with the gospel signs on
it. Yeah, it had our signs all over it. And so when Brother James was done with her car, it was running, he said, right after she said that, he said, "I'm a street preacher, we travel around and share the gospel," or something like that. And so I dug out a gospel card and I gave it to her. And she was very thankful. I was able to share with her about coming out of man-made religion. I said, this had to be an appointed meeting for us because we weren't going to be here at this time. We were going to be somewhere else. She said, "Yeah, I think it is." I warned her about man-made religion, how they don't preach a biblical gospel. She agreed with that. She sees a lot of hypocrisy in the churches. And she said, she mentioned about, "Yeah, they just want to take your money. Look at Joel Osteen and all those other wolves out there that have all that kind of money taking it from people." So she said she definitely sees through that. And so we talked a little bit. It was great to be able to encourage her. I said, "Feel free to contact us. We'll help you in the Word." I said, "I would love to encourage you." And she was so grateful for that. And I said, "You know, God's timing. He was giving you a message." She said, "I think that was so." And as she was leaving, she pulled up. And she said, "I don't have any money except this." She tried to give us a dollar.
That was sweet.
It was. It was heartwarming. And we're like, "Thank you so much. But, you know, we're fine and everything." I was so happy to be able to give her the truth. Brother James was able to help her. That was, I don't know, that was just so awesome.
And that can't happen unless we're out here in the world.
Right. And being spirit-led and just going and doing and being flexible.
Yep.
And, yeah, not setting our own course. And so we headed down the road, and we pulled into a town that we were planning on spending some time in. We're familiar with the town, and we were going to go to the park because we got a lot of ministry to catch up on and helping people and stuff. And as we pulled in, we saw this Catholic priest with stuff sitting on the table.
Doing a mass right in
their
public pavilion.
Yeah, yeah, and people were with the kneeler bars there, and there wasn't a whole bunch of people, but not at first. And then, so we're like, "Oh, okay." We sat way in the back, away from them, at the last picnic table, and
didn't interrupt their service.
They're just doing their thing, and we were working online. And when it was all done, Brother James, they packed everything up and were taken off. And as they were already done and leaving, Brother James tried to share with them about the truth.
Yeah, you know, I called out their vain traditions and tried to preach the gospel to them. They cleared out pretty quick, and one really fleshly man, their deacon, got in my face. I thought he was going to hit me. He was pretty fleshly. His wife had to back him down. And I just told him that, "Hey, your fruit is that you're not born again. You got to repent." I warned him about the Pope system and Mary has no power, all the usual
Catholic
stuff.
Yeah, you can see the videos.
And they called the police on us.
Yeah,
and which is glorious. Tell them why, Sister Debbie.
Oh, well, there was two of them there, and Brother James got to witness to them for 15, 20 minutes or something like that.
Oh, they both stood there and listened and asked questions.
Yeah, yeah, we have some video of it, but not all of it up. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And then
I think we're there to witness the police officers, not even the Roman Catholics.
It certainly seemed like it. Yeah, one of them kind of went into little bit of the theological type discussion.
Yep.
The other one was listening.
The young cop was listening, yeah.
Yep, and then they went over and talked to the man, and that was all settled. They were all leaving anyway. So when they left, Brother James and I, while they were talking to the other people, walked over to the pier, And we were sitting there, and the police officers came over, and they stood there
they
again.
They wanted to talk again for another 10 minutes, and we ended up talking about faith again, and
yeah,
it was awesome.
It was, like, real calm.
We and were peaceful. Just... We were on public property. We didn't interrupt anybody's religious service, and they still called the police on us and treated us like we're common criminals, and that's okay. I told the police officer that the authorities always showed up with Jesus and Paul and Peter, and he shook his head and said, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right. And so that was pretty awesome.
So we have a testing going up to warn people about that religious body, and the police officers got the offer to go to our website and check it out, and they said they were going to do that.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Well, they said that we were okay since they cleared out the pavilion. Oh, I know what I was going to say. One of the police officers said, yeah, he's seen us around, you know, whenever we come through the area, he's seen
us there. They know we don't cause trouble.
Oh, yeah, right. And anyway... So we went and set ourselves back up.
Well, let me correct that. We don't cause unlawful trouble.
Right.
But when we preach the gospel, it does tend to cause trouble.
It's offensive to people and
cause
trouble.
Yep, the world hates the truth, yeah.
Right, right. And then so we set back up, and it wasn't very long after that when two young men come walking over there, and he's like, is that your van? And Brother James said, yeah. He said, were you guys having like a religious service here or something before? And Brother James said, oh no. And he told him the whole story. And he said, oh, because I saw you here and that was going on. He said, I didn't want to stop then. But now that everybody's gone, he wanted to stand there and talk, him and his friend.
We talked for over an hour. And it turns out he used to go and grew up in a religious body that we know about right where we used to live when we were first born again. We were really familiar with it, and I got to tell him how I had the opportunity to rebuke that pastor, and he said, what's unbiblical about him? I gave him all the facts, and he said, yeah, I can see that. And I offered him Bible study and discipleship and all that about a little while ago before Sister Debbie started this email or this audio. I got an email from him.
Yeah.
And so he may be interested in talking truth, so that was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, that is pretty awesome. And then he was warned about that religious body because he said, well, I don't really go there much, but I try to tell people about the Lord, and I need somewhere to send them. And Brother James explained to him about becoming a disciple himself and getting his life in order.
Yep.
And learning the scriptures and then being able to help others instead of sending them into a false religious system.
Yeah, you got to be a disciple before you can make disciples.
Right, exactly. And Brother James offered to help him and the other young man.
We covered everything, the gospel and coming out of the world, and covered a lot of theology. So that was glorious. And that's just a little snapshot. That's just 2 days of our life.
Oh, I know.
And that doesn't count all the witnessing we do in between, one-on-one in gas stations, encounters, and with people that we meet out in the streets sometimes while we're out just doing regular business or errands. So
yeah,
God uses us, and we like to let our good works shine, and we know it encourages the other saints we know when we put these audios out there.
Oh, right. They're always asking us to share. So
not everybody's out like we are.
Right. And it also, it helps them when they come across situations, maybe some ideas how to handle it, what to do.
Amen.
And it's just, God is glorified, so we just share it. So,
amen. So it's a clear picture that the world pretty much hates the gospel. This young brother saw, he said everybody kind of just looks down and wants to look away because they don't even want to hear it. Then you got your mockers and your Satanists. And then we always have a few sheep that thank us, want to talk truth, and they seem blessed by it and encouraged to go home and read their Bibles. And that's what we're all about. We know we're not going for the masses. We're looking for the sheep.
Right.
Amen. Like this young brother happened to be a sheep that saw us out street preaching last fall at a festival. He contacted me, and him and I are drawing close, and I love him like a spiritual son now. He's old, he's young enough to be my son, and we are drawing close, and that's glorious because he's fruit that street preaching works. He saw us, he was convicted, he contacted us, and now he's learning how to walk in the ways of Christ. He's a godly man, striving in the things of God, and I couldn't be happier for the glory of God and for him.
Right, and what did he say about the one? He said that to you today or something?
Yeah, he asked me, he said, Sister Debbie told me one time when we were sitting there talking, Sister Debbie told him that Brother James said he'll go for just the one. And he said, you told her that you would go just for the one? And I said, I would. He said, yeah. He said, I might have been that one. He said, I better train up so I can go for one.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I said, amen.
Oh, speaking of which... I think this is pretty much what I have going on, and
yeah, that was,
I can't think of anything else that I was going to share. There's so many things, but
yeah, a lot of witnessing. So then we started putting a lot of things up online to try and edify and warn people. We have people contacting us because we put these things up to warn people. So we're trying to do ministry online. We're trying to do ministry street preaching. We're trying to go to religious events like Paul and Jesus did. We're trying to do one-on-one evangelism, and of course, more important than all that, we do discipling with saints that we already know.
Right. Amen.
Yeah, and so God's set us free to do this, so we love it. It's glorious. We hope it encourages everybody. We couldn't do it all. We couldn't do any of it without Christ and His glorious Spirit and Word. So we're just tools of a mighty God.
Two found souls that are renewed, brand new creations in Christ. I love it.
Amen.
The new is here.
We love the van dwelling life because we're out here right in the midst of all the people. We don't have to go far, and ministry finds us.
Yes, amen. Praise God. All right, sisters, we're going to let you go. Hopefully that was encouraging to you.
Hope you ladies are striving on, seeking the kingdom of God. Do not grow weary of doing good.
Amen. Praise God. All right, we love you all. Hold fast.
Have a glorious day. We love you. God be praised.